in chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day, ye shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye shall ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll tell you the title of this message after I introduce it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word toward you is not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him is yea. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yea. Wherefore also through him is the Amen unto the glory of God through us. Now Revelation chapter 3. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and so forth. And now the last chapter in the book, chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifieth these things saith, yea, I come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thy word is truth. Let us know that when truth was heard even by John the Baptist, before he was born, he leapt in the womb. Let us know that when our hearts that have been visited by thy Spirit hear the truth, they also leap for joy. We are thankful, our God, for this book from which we've read, thy word is truth. We receive it as such. And as thy Son said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have received this book as words from thy mouth, ministered to us through thy disciples. We thank you for the excellency of the truth revealed to us through the saints. Our Father, we have read from various portions of thy word. We desire to understand them. And as the Greeks said, sir, we would see Jesus, we would see thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in his beauty, in his strength, in his fullness, and that is thy desire as well. Thy Spirit's mission is to take the things of Christ and display them unto us. And so let us see thy Son this morning. Perhaps there are some who have never seen him, have never trusted him in their hearts, have never realized that Christ died for their sins and rose again. We pray that they may see him this morning as well. So, for our coming together, look upon us for good. Cleanse us and purify us because we confess our sins, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I spoke to you in past weeks on Christ's prayers And then the prayer as he taught his disciples to pray. And then I discovered another message about the prayers that Christ taught the unsaved to pray. And now, what else is there to tell you about prayer? His prayers, the way he taught his disciples to pray, the way he taught the unsaved to pray. But it is almost elementary for this reason. After you have placed before God all your petitions, and then ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always one more word that we add. And what is that word? You don't know? Some would say, Amen. Why, of course. Amen. And so if I told you all about prayer, showed you Christ's prayers and what he taught about prayer, then the only thing left to do after that is to say, Amen. And you do not realize it, but the title of this message is The Amen of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though you heard Amen in 2 Corinthians 1 and in Revelation 3 and chapter 22, you do not realize it, but you also heard Amen twice in John 16. The only difference is this, that the translators have seen fit to take the same words in the Greek and translate it by two different words in our English Bible. And when I read to you the Lord Jesus saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, Amen, Amen, I say unto you. That is significant. Everywhere else, except in a few places, when the Savior utters the words, Amen, the translators translate them, Verily, or Verily, Verily. But what our Savior said was, Amen, Amen, I say unto you. And what you do not realize is this, that those who are given to form and ceremony could not endure a prayer that did not end with an Amen. And so what we have in what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, Amen, if you look at the most ancient manuscript, the Amen isn't there. And at the same time, if you look at the way the ending of the Gospel of Matthew is set in our King James Bible, you'll find out that someone else, when he finished translating it, said, I have to put in this word. And so he put in the word, Amen. But there is one Gospel that ends with the word Amen, and that is the Gospel of Mark. But the others, just like the Lord's Prayer, people will add Amen, but you'll find that the most ancient manuscripts do not contain it. And you suspect people, because I know how some people like things in form and ceremony, and if it never appears for hundreds of years and it suddenly appears, then perhaps they were reading this portion and they said, we do not want to stop in mid-air, and so what we'll have to do is to add Amen. Now, that is a fine signal, because when I am to speak, sometimes it's not right after people play, but it's right after people pray. And they'll mention a brother that I do not know, and I have to find out who he is. And then sometimes that brother prays so quietly that I'm listening and listening to hear him mention the name of the Lord Jesus, but he may mention it, and that doesn't mean he's through. But beware, if you say Amen in the middle of the prayer, I'm liable to get up and come to the platform and start preaching. Because when you say Amen, I know that you are done with your prayer. And so, from all that I've known about prayer, I've been taught about prayer, we're always to end it with the word Amen, or if you want to say Amen, but it is transliteration of the word Amen, and so it's Amen. If you look at it, and if you were trained the way I was, from what Christ taught, and from the examples he gave, you were taught incorrectly for this reason. Now, boys and girls, bow your heads and let us pray. And had I ever gotten to John chapter 17, when the Lord Jesus was going to pray, it says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And so instead of bowing his head when he prayed, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And whenever he prayed, instead of ending his prayer with Amen, when he spoke, he began his utterances with Amen. He never ended them, but he began them with the word Amen. Now that is significant. We end them with Amen. But the Lord Jesus, when he prayed, I read you his prayers in chapter 11 and in chapter 6 and in chapter 12. And when the Lord Jesus said, what shall I say? Save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And that is the end of his prayer. And in John 11, he said, I thank you, Father, that you heard me, and I knew that you heard me always, but because of the people that stand around, I said it. And that's the end of his prayer. And if you read his prayer in the garden about, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, that's the end of his prayer. And in John chapter 17, he ends his prayer, and never is there an Amen when Christ finishes praying. Remarkable, isn't it? But whenever he is teaching, he begins his statement with Amen, but does not end them with Amen. However, the last book in the Bible does end with Amen, and the practice of saying Amen at certain times is a scriptural precedent, not taught us by Christ himself, but by the customs of the churches, because Paul, in talking about a service that is going on in a given church, he says, else, if you pray in the Spirit, but not with the understanding, how shall he that occupieth the position of the unlearned say the Amen at thy giving of thanks? And that is encouraging. Because when someone gets up and gives thanks for the loaf, I say, Amen. And usually I say it by myself. And not only so, but if another brother is praying and he says something of significance that my heart enters into, I say, Amen. And I find that they did it at Corinth. And Paul expects people to be listening when prayers are offered. Why? So that they can hear the words that you pray. And can, in agreement with you, say, Amen. But if a man is praying in an unknown tongue, who does not know what you are saying, then how can he say Amen? And I confess this, that at times I have heard people pray strange things, and I have not been able to say Amen. And this is an encouragement to you men who speak softly. Prayer is not only for God. You say, prayer is for God. Then what is Paul talking about? How can he who occupies the seat of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks? To whom are you giving thanks? To God. But who's listening to you? Who wants to join in with you in your prayer? The man that is listening to your prayer. And if your speech is not audible, and if it is not intelligible, he cannot say Amen. And so men, when you pray, you are praying to God, and do not answer as one brother did when someone said, speak up, we can't hear you. And he said, I'm talking to God and not you. Well, you're talking to God, but it is for our benefit. And that is why I say again, lead us in prayer. If you lead in prayer, you say, we, our Father. If I say to a man like Abraham the patriarch, pray for me, then he prays, I pray my blessing upon these people. If you lead in prayer, we pray, we, our Father, which are in heaven. And for that reason, I am listening to what you say. Do you listen to prayers? I want to know if this man is praying the way he should. because he may pray in a manner that is not in accordance with God's will. And for that reason, I'm not going to say amen when he finishes. And at the same time, I'm thinking of a dear brother, and I was just two rows away from him, and I turned my ear, and I could not ascertain what he was saying. He spoke so softly. But then I listened and listened, and he has long pauses in his prayers, and I said, is he through? And then I would hear him continue talking again. It is unsettling, and God wants things done decently and in order, and he wants you to know and to inform the people when you are finished with your prayer. And one of the best ways is when you are finished, if you say amen, well, I will be able to say amen if I'm in agreement with you. But if not, then speak in a way that is final, such as a piece of music. You know when a piece of music comes to an end, unless it's some trick piece by a man like Haydn, and the people get ready to applaud, and then he laughs, and he puts in another few bars of music. And so some people pray that way. They'll pray, you say, they're through, and then they will continue praying. Say a prayer and be through. It's the same way with preaching. Usually, I'm through when I finish preaching, and you know. And so this is what God tells us. So, from this, here is what I find. That the Lord Jesus, instead of saying amen when he prayed, left off the amen when he prayed, but he began significant utterances with the word amen, for he preached. And what is so remarkable is this, that if you go to the Gospel of John, and then you go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see that when the Savior is going to make a significant pronouncement, in the Gospel of Matthew, he will say, verily, I say unto you. But when he is going to make a significant statement in the Gospel of John, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. But both times he says, amen, I say to you, or amen, amen, I say unto you. Both of them are the same, inasmuch as they begin, at least, with the same word, amen. And now, here is the truth. If, when I tell you something like this, if I left it here and told you what I've told you, you would never discover the next truth that I'm going to tell you. Because I venture to say that not one of you will go home and check out every reference to every amen that we find in the Bible. But if you did, you would learn something not only from each individual amen, but from a comparison of the amens that you have if Christ speaks in the first three Gospels and then what he speaks in the last Gospel. And this is what you will find. Since I'm reading from John's Gospel, I'll tell you primarily about that. 25 times in John's Gospel, he says, amen, amen, I say unto you. Not once in all the other Gospels does he ever say, amen, amen. Always, amen, I say unto you. Well then, I'm liable to conclude that what he says in John's Gospel is doubly important because he says, amen, amen, and what he says in Matthew's Gospel is just significantly important because he only says one amen. And I may tell you this, that almost all of the statements that Christ introduces by the words amen, amen in John's Gospel are peculiar to that Gospel. Matthew tells us nothing about them. Mark, Luke, they tell us nothing about them. And so you say, well then, all the 25 utterances of verily, verily in John's Gospel then, they are peculiar to John's Gospel. No. You do not get the reward if you read 23 of them without reading 25 of them. For this reason, when you read them all and then compare them all with the other amens in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then when Christ said amen in Matthew's Gospel, it is in no wise to be distinguished from the amen, amen, he says in John's Gospel. How can I say that? For this reason, I discovered that the very words that he spoke in Matthew's Gospel are also contained in John's Gospel in two instances. 23 of them, all went well. But when I came to the last two, then here is what I discovered. That when the Savior looked at Peter, and when the Savior at the table spoke to his disciples, he said in John's Gospel, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." But those identical words are spoken in Matthew's Gospel, and he says, "Verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." And not only so, but he says in Matthew's Gospel, "Verily, I say unto thee, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." But in John's Gospel, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now do you see the significance of that? Inasmuch as Christ did not speak in Greek, John listened to the inflection, the intensity with which he made his pronouncement. And he said, that means that they are so intense that I am going to put down, "Amen, amen." And Matthew said, "I'm simply going to put down the amen that he spoke and trust that people shall have enough intelligence to see that it is important if he says amen once." But you're in danger if you say, "John tells us things that no one else does, and he always spoke this way." He spoke the same in Matthew's Gospel as he spoke in John's Gospel. It is simply the interpretation of the words that Christ spoke in the Hebrew or the Aramaic. And the Spirit of God permits the translators, when they put it into Greek, to interpret those words. He had emphasis here, and so I'm going to say, "Amen, amen," which is quite in order. And if Matthew just wanted to put one amen and expect you to know that it is of great importance, then this is what he does. God gives latitude to those who heard the words of Christ when they give us his inspired word. And one other thing I want to set aside. Treatises have been written on the distinction between the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's Gospel and the kingdom of God in all the other Gospels. And if they would do some research, they would understand that there is no difference in the word itself. Because just as I've given you the two illustrations from John's Gospel, I can show you this. When the Lord Jesus is speaking the parables in Matthew 13, twice he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and in Mark's Gospel, he says, "The kingdom of God is like." Absolutely no difference. And not only that, but in Matthew's Gospel, he says, "How hardly shall those that are rich enter the kingdom of heaven?" And in Mark's Gospel, he says, "Shall they enter the kingdom of God?" And if a person would do research and just look at the word itself, they would not fall into these traps. And then I remember as a young man, listening to all these discourses, the distinctions between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And I said to myself, "I can't comprehend that now, but someday I'm going to learn about these distinctions. How does this man know all of those things?" And so I started searching it out, and I found out that the reason that it did not readily present itself as acceptable to my mind is that God never intended it to be that way. There were things that men made up, and you look at them and see what God himself says and compare Scripture with Scripture, as the Savior said to Satan, "Again, it is written." You have to compare Scripture with Scripture. I understand that it is Christ said one thing, and Matthew said, "Then I'm going to translate it to kingdom of heaven." And John said, "I'm going to translate it the kingdom of God." And they're not these distinctions that are man-made. Search the scriptures. Be like the Bereans and understand. Because I confess that as a young man, even before I was saved, I went to a very formal denomination. And I recall that when the pastor was leading in prayer, I was looking around at the men to see their posture when they entered into prayer with the pastor. And some of them would do like this. And I remember one did like this. And I said, "That's a very good posture. Perhaps I will assume that posture." Do you understand? I didn't know any better. And you don't either. That's the bad thing. You say, "I want to preach the way John Mills does or Willie McNeil does." Disregard that. See how the scripture says we should preach. And there may be ever so much latitude. You may be able to preach this way. And, yes, at times Christ fell upon his face and prayed to his Father. At times the Lord Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven, and at times he may have put his face in his hand, or at times he may have folded his hands. At times he may have lifted up holy hands. Look in the Word of God and know the various ways that God's Word teaches us that are acceptable to pray. And therefore, do not criticize a man or say, I like it when a man prays this way. I do not like it when he prays that way. They're all part of the Word of God. Be grounded in the Scripture, and that way you will not be embarrassed. You will not feel as if somehow a person is looking at you, and you may be doing something that is not proper, that should be done. I may pray this way. I may pray this way. I may lift my hands to heaven. I may fold my hands and pray. I may stand and pray. I may pray in any of these postures according to the moment and what is suitable to it. And so be a Christian that understands. You will have tolerance if you know the great variety that the Word of God teaches. But at the same time, you will be intolerant when a man says, Jesus, when he says, verily, verily, it's doubly important because he only says verily in Matthew's gospel. You will be intolerant of such things. And the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, you will be intolerant from a comparison of the Word of God itself. And that way, you can speak with much assurance, and you can pray with much assurance. And you do not have to pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because that is the way people are baptized. But it says in the Upper Room Discourse, whatsoever you shall pray in my name. That is what God would have us to understand. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm so glad that John shows us that you can say amen if you so desire. And John is doing the same as that man in 1 Corinthians 14. He was listening to what people prayed in 1 Corinthians 14. And when he listens and he knows what you're saying, when you finish, he says, amen. Or if you have a pregnant statement, he says, amen. And in like manner, this is what is so thrilling. John has been listening to the Lord Jesus and the angel that is telling him the things of the Lord Jesus. And this is what he hears, the last words from the lips of our Savior. He who testified these things says, behold, I come quickly. And John said, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Now that's thrilling. He was listening to those words, and he heard that his Savior was coming back again, not visiting him to get revelations on the Isle of Patmos, but he was going to come in fulfillment of that promise in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Not Christ visiting John on the Isle of Patmos, but Christ coming and taking John from the Isle of Patmos to his Father's house in heaven. And when John heard it, his heart leapt, and he said, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Be attentive to prayers. Be attentive to preaching. And then, if something is said, it is quite in order that people say amen, not too often, because I would lose my train of thought, and I've had some people to do it. I've been at a meeting, and a brother kept saying amen every time I said something. I had wished for a while I weren't saying things so significant, so he would stop saying amen. And I probably would have said, had this continued, brother, wait until I finish and sum them all up and then say, amen. But some people like it. But if there is an outburst, and conceivably I say something that thrills your soul, it is quite in order to say, amen. Or if a person prays a beautiful prayer, as I've heard them at the Lord's Supper, I usually say, amen, because it is a thing that is done. But not in Christ's prayer. He said amen in his preaching, but he did not say amen in his prayers. He simply prayed, and that was the end of the matter. Well, let me tell you this. You have to understand about the definition. What is the meaning of the word amen? I'll tell you more of that, God willing, tonight. But the significant meaning that we can understand, the basic meaning, is to build up, to support, to make firm. And therefore, if a thing is firm, it is believable. You can put your confidence in it. And for that reason, when Paul writes and he says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's not the word amen, but that's the same thing. Here is a statement that you can put your trust in. And the Lord Jesus would say, amen, amen. Here is a trustworthy statement that I'm making, and you can depend upon it. It is something that is foundational, something that will support you, something that will not give way. And the Lord Jesus, even though all of his words were words of God, 25 times he gives us special utterances that are introduced by amen, amen, and they are studies in themselves. And having said that, unlike the Bereans and unlike Paul would preach and the Bereans would listen and they would go home and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And the Lord Jesus Christ, before he made a statement, would say, truth, truth, foundation, assurance. And then he would make the statement. He's the only one that ever could. Perhaps I would like that, but I cannot always say that. But with Christ, it was that way. Before he said anything, he would say, what I'm about to say is truth, is truth. You may put your confidence in it. And so when he made these statements, you look at them. And having said that, you look at them, and some of them I wish that I could disagree with, but Christ has said, this is truth, this is truth, and then he gives us the truth. Now, I must tell you these things because I've read the scriptures. I will introduce them to you and tell you as much as I can, but please notice that Christ said his amen in the gospel, and so, when he was on earth, during the days of his flesh, all the words that he spoke were words of truth that could be prefaced by the words, amen. They were believable even before he uttered them. But Christ ended his earthly ministry and went back to heaven. And then we have in the dispensation in which his apostles are preaching for him, his servants are serving him, we find the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That is what is so beautiful. It says, how many soever be the promises of God, in Christ is the yea, wherefore also through him is the amen. And it means this, that just as Christ himself said amen and his statements were true during the days of his flesh, now that he's gone back to heaven bodily, his disciples are preaching and it is still through him amen, yea, affirmation. During the apostolic ministry. And now, here is John in the last book that is in our Bible. But we find something that even transcends what has been said before. It is a new title of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3, he is speaking to the church at Laodicea, and he says, these things saith the Amen. He is the Amen himself. When he said, I am the truth, he said, I not only speak the truth, I am the truth. And I not only preface my utterances by amen, but I who speak to you am the amen. Then he is the embodiment of truth. He supports any who rest upon him. All that he says comes directly from God. And that's how he is introduced in his utterances. It says, he whom God sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And the Lord Jesus' words were God's words. And that is why he is called the Amen. He is the truth. He is the Amen. His nature, his character are such that he himself must be pronounced Amen. Now, in like manner, if he does not come for me, I am going to die and return to dust. And the Lord Jesus is he who shall raise me from the dead. But more than that, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he has been entrusted with the souls and the bodies of those that had trusted him as Savior. And he said, I will raise him up at the last day. But he not only raises up, he said, I am the resurrection. It is inherent in him. He not only speaks the truth, but what he speaks is a revelation of his nature and character. That is what he wants us to understand. And so all the titles that are given to him, he displays in his speech. He is the Word of God, and he speaks the words of God. He is the truth of God, and he speaks the truth. And he is the resurrection and the life, as well as raises people from the dead. And not only does he say, Amen, Amen, but he says himself, I am the Amen of God, the faithful witness. Do you know what that means? It means, just as it says in Psalm 12, that the words of God are pure words. It says, they are tried in the furnace 7 times. They are refined silver. And that is the way that we look at God's word. Man would like to tell you that this book is filled with dross, but God says it has been refined and tested in the furnace 7 times, and it is pure. And that is the way the words that Christ spoke are. They are pure words, and he himself is pure. And so when we say Amen, understand that we are uttering the name of our Savior. And when these promises are made, listen to them. And perhaps it shall grip your soul that the Lord Jesus said, I've gone back, but I'm going to come again. I come quickly. And let us join in with John and say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that in this world of deceit and lying and perversity and hypocrisy, we have found one who speaks the truth, who is the truth. All that he ever said, our Father, if we listen to him, we could say, Amen. We are thankful that we know him as the Amen of God. We rejoice in this. We have found him, or rather have been found by him, who is the way, the truth, the life, all that thou art, Father, every attribute that thou dost possess, thy Son possesses, and he has revealed them unto us. We have seen God, the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth that is ours, all that thy Son prayed, all that he taught of prayer. And we are thankful also for all that he taught us about the way that we may conclude our prayers. And so, Father, looking to thee in hope that thou shalt answer prayer, knowing that all the promises that you have made are true, we rejoice, our Father, and we give thee thanks, and we ask that thou shalt answer our prayers in the name of him who is the Amen, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.